This is the Brant and Sherry Podcast.
You know what? We get busy, we forget stuff, so I will have this little thing here where I will remind you of something that is deeply true, using this fanfare to get your attention, because now you're busy. It's hard to listen to the radio sometimes, but it's true, so I'll just remind you. Our whole culture has an idea of what success looks like. God's idea of that thing called success, totally different. Totally different. Our whole culture is beating us over the head every day with this is what success looks like. You're good looking, you have money, you're in shape, you have power, you're whatever it is. That's what success is. You got tons of followers on Twitter or whatever. God's idea of success looks pretty simple. It looks just like faithfulness. That's it. Just be faithful. That's what he's looking for. And yes, his opinion matters more. Oh, we were talking about success. I mean, everybody's trying to do something today. Literally today. Mm-hmm. We're driving somewhere. We're trying to do something, trying to achieve something.
Right.
Bottom line, if you believe in God and you think his opinion matters, his idea of success is totally different than ours. I'll also at least say this about our idea of success. You'll never reach a finish line with it.
That's true.
Ever.
There's always something else.
Yes. Oh, if I just had 1,000 friends on Facebook and then you reach it, what? I'm satisfied for the rest of my life. I have achieved everything that I could ever wanted. And drop the curtain. It never works that way.
And hopefully as you get older, as I've gotten older, I'm like, okay, all of this is vanity.
Yes.
And I learned not to put so much importance into it because I know what it feels like to get whatever quote unquote it is.
Yep.
And still not be satisfied.
Which is helpful on the flip side because if you don't achieve it, you realize it didn't matter that much anyway.
Right.
It,
yep.
So all this is just, it's just maturity. But the weird thing is we've talked about this, how quick we are to forget basic stuff. We know this, but if everything else in the culture is constantly saying this is what you should be aiming for, it's really tough not to snap into that. Constant. You have to have somebody remind you. So somebody reminded me. We thought we'd remind you. Hey, if you're in the housing market or at least like to know about real estate values and stuff, there's a house that's available.
Oh, okay.
It's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's $1.58 billion.
Okay. It's a little outside of some people's
price range. That's what I was thinking
too.
It's up. It's on the high end. Because I look at that and I'm like, well, if I have to put 20% down. That's $200 million. I don't have that liquid right now.
Okay, not liquid.
Not liquid. I mean, if I have to call in some stuff or whatever, but it's in England. It has, it's a house in London. It has 10 bedrooms.
Hmm.
So that's nice.
That is nice.
It's got a 91-foot table.
Oh, great.
So you can sit at one end and have your loved one, your spouse, 91 feet away.
Can never have too many of those.
And an underground sauna and stuff and a panic room, which would come in handy.
Right.
Immediately after I realized that I just paid $1.5 million for a stupid house.
Straight to the panic room.
Yeah. I'll just need the panic room. I'm going to directly there. Doing some of the math on this house. It's available in England.
Okay.
I just saw it online.
Mm-hmm.
The list price. Now, maybe they'll negotiate a little bit with you.
Okay.
But it's $1.58 billion.
Which, again, is a little high.
High.
Yeah.
If you have, say, $200 million to put down, which really isn't even 20% now that I think about it. You'll need more than that.
All right.
But let's say we talk them down to like $1.5 billion.
Which is possible.
We talk them down to $80
million. Uh-huh.
You put $200 million down. I'm trying to think, could we stretch it? I was doing the mortgage calculator thing. I think it's $900,000 a month.
As your mortgage payment?
Your mortgage payment. Okay. And that does not cover like mortgage insurance or like if you have a homeowners association.
Right.
To me, I'm not going to do that because to me, $900,000, you can speak for yourself, but to me, $900,000 a month is like, that's just too much.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, it's good to have boundaries and standards.
That would take, like Dave Ramsey has that thing, like percentage of your income that should go towards a mortgage payment.
Uh-huh.
That would take more than.
It's going to take, it's a big piece of the pie is what you're saying.
It's a very big piece of my monthly income pie because I'm going to be honest with you, just between me and you.
Yeah.
I don't always clear more than $900,000 a month total.
I would have never thought
it's
that.
It's true.
Okay. Well, then this house is a no-no for you then.
Not buying it. So there's stuff. I get caught in my own mindset, like thinking there's stuff that's just impossible. Like it's just not going to happen. And I'll ask God for it to happen. And it doesn't. So I give up. One thing has been for Saeed Abedini. He's a guy from America. He's got a wife and kids whom we love very much. They're friends of the show. Saeed's a friend of the show. He's been in prison for a couple years now in Iran because of his belief in Jesus. And human rights organizations realize this whole thing's a joke. Like, he should never be in prison. It's completely unjust. Well, I've asked radio listeners to pray for him that he would be freed by Iran. He's still in prison. My tendency is to go, okay, well, I guess that's not going to happen, but I don't think that's wise on my part just to drop it, so I'm not going to. Please pray that he would be released. It doesn't look good. They're saying they won't let him out. Clemency's not going to happen. They're not going to just let him out. But God can do the impossible, and I think if we're humble and we ask God, please just let this guy out. His wife misses him. His kids are growing up without him. He's an American. And we just want to pray that he'll be released and he'll be allowed to come home to his wife and kids. Again, his name is Saeed, if you get a chance to pray for him. So we're sitting on the back patio at my house. Sherry, my show's producer, and I are recording a podcast. There's a hummingbird feeder. Now, this is a problem because Sherry is, you would say, scared of birds.
Yes, deathly fearful of birds.
A hummingbird was hovering around the feeder, and Sherry was frightened. And I don't understand it. What were you afraid it was going to do, exactly?
Well, it has that sharp little beak, so there's a possibility that it will poke your eyes out or just poke you overall.
The hummingbird could poke her eyes out.
All right.
Fear.
We don't know that they don't do that.
But has one ever?
No, because I'm savvy enough to stay out of their way.
All right. So she's seen it happen to others. Reason I bring this up is not to poke fun at Sherry. We've already talked about this. It's not.
No, yeah.
But just like to bring up the issue of irrational fear, because a lot of people are afraid of things they really don't need to be afraid of. And honestly, you don't need to be afraid of that.
Thank you.
So just thought I'd throw that out there. Honestly, is there something you could come alongside Sherry and say, okay, it makes no sense. I'm afraid of this, but
yes,
it doesn't make any sense.
It'll make me feel better.
It'll make her feel better. Go to Brant Hansen page on Facebook. Let us know. Or if you ever want to call us, too, you can call 855-90-BRANT.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a way to leave a message or talk to us or something. Wondering if you have any irrational fears?
Yeah, I kind of do. I'm afraid of toys that make noise, like little kids' toys that make electronic noises. They terrify me, especially Furbies.
Well, Furbies terrify everybody. Let's get that.
Let's just be honest.
Right. Yeah. Well, most sane people anyway.
I was thinking like you're worried that it'll make some sudden loud noise, like a jack-in-the-box or something? I don't know.
Or that they'll come alive and attack me. I don't really know.
Yeah, there's that. I can buy that.
Yeah, after that happens a few times, you're like, wait a second. I understand that. We all understand that.
You kind of don't want to get in that situation again.
If one more toy piano attacks me, I'm going to start to get worried.
Yeah, I had went to school with a girl who was afraid of knees.
Of leaves?
Knees. Like head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Just knees,
like,
though?
Literally, like, couldn't talk about them, didn't want to look at them. And she was in nursing school, so that's what kind of made it entertaining.
Talk about it.
She could probably watch a surgery. She's all right, but as soon as somebody shows a knee, she's like, I gotta leave.
A pair of shorts drives her crazy.
Yeah, that's probably the most, that was the weirdest thing. Like, we'd be sitting in post-comp, like, after clinicals, and someone would say something about a knee, and she would, like, go white and, like, not,
look
like she's about to pass out.
Wow.
Sometimes it's really hard to tell if you're, like, growing spiritually. I mean, if you're a believer in Jesus, you want to grow spiritually, but it's hard to tell if you're doing it. I have learned, you know, there's a list in the Bible, maybe you've seen this, maybe you haven't, but it's called the Fruit of the Spirit, and it mentions things like gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, love, joy, peace, things like that. The tendency is, because we're Americans and we're good at starting companies and that sort of stuff, the tendency is for us to look and go, well, have I grown? So what have I started? What big thing have I created? What, you know, what's growing out of my big entrepreneurial projects? That's not it at all. The fruit of the Spirit is stuff like love and joy and peace. So can somebody look at me like my wife or my brother and say, you know what, Brant, 3-5 years ago, you weren't as joyful as you are now. You weren't as peaceful. we always look at other stuff like, oh, I've got to create this and do that. Nuh-uh. That's not how God looks at us. He looks at us at the heart. He wants to see those things growing. And honestly, if I am growing as a believer, you'll be able to look at me and go, you know what? Brant's more loving than he used to be. He's more at peace and he's gentler. Hey, coming after Halloween, this is probably worth saying. There's a lot of cartoon versions of what a relationship with God looks like. One of them is you have Satan on one shoulder and God on the other, and they're always battling it out. That's not reality in the Bible. I mean, that's in the Flintstones, that's the reality. It actually shows Fred with like an angel over here. That's not reality. Flintstones doesn't quite grasp it theologically. What's going on always is it's not a struggle between us going, I'm either a Satanist or I'm a God worshiper. It's always, do I want to worship God or do I worship myself? Those are the two things. And if you look at the biblical narrative, the enemy is always rooting for you. He's always rooting for Brant to worship Brant, to make me number one, to not surrender to God's authority. That's what's really happening. I think a lot of us will look at the cartoon version and go, see, well, at least I'm not doing this, so I must be a good person. But that's not how God views us at all. He just wants us to be humble before him and recognize, after all, he is the king, that he's the king, that he's actually the one in charge. That's what he wants from us. You know, at restaurants, you know what I've gotten into doing? Because a lot of people, they struggle with when to pray. If they're people who pray before meals.
Uh-huh.
I'll just say it out loud.
Say what out loud?
I'll just say with eyes open and everybody, thank you, Lord, for this food. And then we can start eating.
Right at the beginning before the food gets there? Or
nope. Right as, when do I say that?
Yeah, that's the question. Because do you do it when the appetizers come? Do you do it when the entree comes?
That's true. People don't do it for the appetizers.
They don't. That's why I'm always taken off guard when we have this corporate prayer at the entree. We've had, you know, we've had fries and nachos and bread and salad. And all of a sudden now we want to tell
or
God.
Like chicken wings.
Yes.
But now I'm getting chicken breast. So I pray before the chicken breast, but the chicken wings.
The chicken wings are fine, but it's the chicken breast we need to lift before
we pray
the Lord.
The entree. God is concerned only about the entree. We should know that. Hey, we were talking about prayer. Did you ever do that thing? Like you close your eyes as a family when you're a kid?
Uh-huh.
My brother busted me one time.
Okay.
And I relished this.
What happened?
Because he said after we prayed, he's like, Brant had his eyes open during the prayer.
Okay.
And I'm like, I was young, but I was just old enough to realize.
How he would have known.
Wait a second. So there's this big pause, and I'm like, I'd like to know how my brother Darren knows that I had my eyes open.
Even then, you were an attorney.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, that's very interesting because.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
I submit to you. I might get a high chair. That my brother is a fraud. Something came up during the show, and it was about women feeling judged just by going to the gym. And I was wondering if that's true. You actually feel that way just by going?
I'm out of high school now, but when I was in high school, I hated PE class and stuff because I felt judged, not just by like guys, but like by other girls and stuff too, like in the locker room, that kind of thing.
I felt judged in PE as well, as a matter of fact.
Did you really?
Absolutely.
By guys?
Yeah, because it's the one thing out of the day, like I dominate trigonometry, and then we go in there and I get dominated.
Oh, I see what
then
you're
we play
saying.
Dodgeball.
Exactly, that's how I was too. Woo woo, nerds unite.
And they remember trigonometry too. They're like,
going for Hanson's head with this dodgeball.
Exactly. So, but that is an issue. Like you feel as judged by other women, and that's a factor. I mean, mm-hmm. Do they ever say anything? Is this just judgment that we're feeling
Not
that no one
really,
else is?
But you just kind of know that they're looking at you.
Huh.
Especially if you already feel self-conscious. So if you already feel a little bit of that inside, then you just, if they are looking at you, you've magnified it times 1,000.
But if you're going to, at least, now PE is different, but if you're going to the gym, at least that says, hey, okay, I know I'm not in the greatest shape, but I'm trying.
Yeah.
I don't think people are thinking, I don't know what people are thinking. If I was thinking someone would be like, hey, we're all at the gym. I don't know what they're possibly
no,
like.
And then you also are very aware at the gym of, okay, so if you're a little bigger, you have your sweatpants on and maybe your t-shirt, and then the smaller girl has a little sports thing on and she's whipping around. And
exactly,
you do, because
that's part of it too.
It is, because you're like, that's where you're trying to get, and you automatically feel some level of defeat. Now you have to conquer that, because you're only going to get there by way of the treadmill, but You do. Right. You feel something inside. It just, do you not feel that, Brandt?
Yeah, I totally feel you there, sir.
Now,
I totally do.
Now, Brandt, being as ripped as you are,
yeah.
I don't know if you ever look at any other guy and feel like, wow, he's more ripped than me.
I feel four other guys. I feel four of them. And sometimes I feel about the clothes thing, I'll accidentally flex and then my shirt is in tatters. And then I feel very self-conscious because I'm like, my shirt, Hulk style, is just shredded.
Michelle, we're done. Yeah, it's over.
So it is a real problem. Michelle, okay. thanks for asking. I've heard people say this, and I think it's true. Christians can be really, really judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't hear said as often, though, is that it's a human thing. It's not a Christian thing. Humans in general, you've probably noticed, are incredibly judgmental.
And if you haven't, go to any article in Yahoo and go down to the comments.
That is exactly
right. It will become very clear to you that it's just not Christian.
Or even ESPN.com.
Yeah.
Now, we shouldn't be. That's just it. Mm-hmm. As a believer, I realize I'm broken.
Right.
So for me to get on my high horse and then act like somebody else's sin is worse than mine, it's true. It's totally incompatible with belief in Jesus. But it's not like Christians just became judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we lapsed back into it.
Good point.
The rest of the world's that way. We were just talking about going to the gym. You feel judged. You don't look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole culture is judgmental. You're not smart enough. Your hair is not shiny enough. You're not in good enough shape. You don't have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
Your car doesn't look good enough. Your house isn't enough clean or
right.
big enough, or you don't have enough bathrooms per bedroom. I mean, there's a million different things. Your yard, the lady across the street from us just constantly...
I knew we were going somewhere personal here. I could feel really we were building up to
it something. Wasn't until I started talking about a yard, and then I'm like, I feel
I'll
judged.
I'll tell you another thing.
I feel judged, that lady across the street. If a leaf is falling from the tree, she will sense it, come out of her house,
before
and dive
it hits the ground.
Before it hits the lawn. And ours is just a disaster, and it's my fault. Anyway, all I was trying to say is, man, we're just judgmental by nature, and we should grow out of it if you're a believer, but man, it is not, Christians do not have a monopoly on judgmentalism at all. Jesus did something so remarkable. He told people he would take the burden off them, the religious burden, and give them rest. I can tell you this, as somebody who has decided, wait a second, I'm not going to try to size everybody up. We were talking about judgmentalism earlier. I'm not going to try to size up where everybody is with God. You know what? That's just a big relief. Instead of trying to fit, well, this person needs to, they shouldn't have, and well, what about that? Instead of, you don't have to worry about it. Like, I will leave everybody else to God. I don't have to evaluate how everybody's doing.
Because there's nothing I can do anyway.
Nothing you can do anyway.
I can't change me. I sure can't change you.
Right.
But he can change all of us, and that's where the rest comes in.
It's very restful. It's a much more restful life. You can take a deep breath. There's so much less to do when mm-hmm. you don't have to evaluate everybody, and including yourself,
mm-hmm.
to say, God, I want to love you, and let me love the people you bring across my path today. That's it. It's a much more restful way to live than constantly straining and striving to figure everybody out and know exactly where everybody stands and keep score. It's not even your score to keep. This, to a lot of people, they're like, oh, I can't believe he's doing this. Guy's on the Discovery Channel? I think it's Discovery. I'm looking over here at this thing. I don't know what it is. Yeah, Discovery.
Okay.
He's letting himself be eaten alive by an anaconda snake, like whole.
Okay.
He'll wear a protective suit.
The suit, okay.
That is awesome.
A Brandt.
That is. Think about it. Think
but
about that.
I can think about it, but I think the
he's gonna
overall,
be okay.
Yeah, but the over, we don't know that.
Hang on a second. I just want to make something clear.
Okay.
As a female, you don't think that guy has got it going on. Like, he's bold, he's dangerous, he's on the edge. You're not attracted to a guy that would do that at all.
Not in any way,
I don't
shape,
believe it.
Or form.
It is so arbitrary. So, you're telling me, I'm trying to get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
From a women's perspective,
uh-huh.
that you would not be attracted to this guy. He's on the Discovery Channel. He's dangerous. He's on the edge. He's allowing an anaconda snake to swallow him whole, and he'll be okay.
We don't know if he's going to be okay.
Well, he's wearing a protective suit.
Oh,
but
okay.
Guys who ride motorcycles and stuff, women are like, oh,
right.
He's so cool because he's so dangerous and tough. But this guy, nothing.
No, nothing.
Why? What's
are
the difference?
Are you really making it?
No, I actually don't understand. I think we guys would be interested in the female mind on
this. Because it doesn't
make
sense. Like, there's no reason. There's no actual reason to do that. You just, why?
So now we have to make sense. Is that it?
It would be nice.
Forget it. We have no chance. Forget it, guys. Okay. Apparently we have to make sense. Thanks. Thanks. Yeah, basically, if you have political opinions, to get on Twitter or on Facebook is to have yourself assaulted. Because, I mean, I went out and voted.
Yeah.
Tuesday, and
you still have your little sticker on your
sticker.
Yeah.
I still voted, so I'm still proud of the sticker. But, I mean, I look on social media, and it's just one insult after another for how I voted.
Okay.
Now, but here's the key for me has been, I just realized it doesn't have anything to do with me. Mm-hmm. This is this person working out her issues or his issues,
mm-hmm.
launching out. And it's a lot of it's just, you people who don't vote the way I want are dumb.
Right. That's always what it is,
That's
isn't
what it,
it?
Is, yeah. Right. So I can look at it and be like, oh, but they're not. Be honest here. You can decide not to be offended ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make life much easier. It's not about you, even if they are wrong, even if it is about you, even if they're like, it's not just general, but it's Bran Hansen, you're dumb. It's still about them, right?
Very true, because it's their opinion. That's from them.
And it's based on whatever they're going through,
yes,
right?
I mean, absolutely.
There's whatever issues, whatever stuff, so it's just best to just go, I'm not going to be offended, I'll get on this stuff, and okay, yeah, you're right, I'm dumb. And next tweet, let's go read that one. You're not going to believe this. The impossible has happened. I am giving Sherry social tips. She's accepting them.
I'm finding it very hard to believe, but
implementing
it's true.
Them, and it's
benefiting working. You. Thank you so much.
Sherry attracts people in social settings. I repel them, but I want to attract people, and she wants to repel occasionally.
Well, in places where, like, we were talking about the steam room in a gym.
Yeah.
Where people just come up and start talking to me, and you just kind of want to sit there and enjoy the steam.
Which they never will at the gym I'm at. No one ever talks to me.
And but we I go see to the same gym.
Totally.
Gym.
They'll right. talk to my wife there.
Okay.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets a little tired of it. I will tell her, well, here's what you got to do. You've implemented some of my moves.
I have. You've told me not to smile. I'm naturally smiley.
Yep.
So I come in the room, and I just smile. I stop smiling. I keep my head down.
Yep.
And make no eye contact.
Those are all my moves.
And they work, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
They work.
How to not win friends and wind up influencing absolutely no one. But it works every time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Follow Brant on Twitter @Brant Hansen and on the web @BrantHansen.com.